Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I think it's time that we start our meeting at 9:00. Thank you very much for you all to come to this very important meeting. This is a joint committee meeting, basic education and social development, where we're here to look and discuss the very important topic that is early childhood development, look at the policy that is there, look at the roles that these departments must play, because I think all of us as we are here, we all believe in that for us to build that full-rounded, that full responsible citizen, that child that can be able to continue with a genuine education, we must make sure that the basics are very strong. The ECG part of a learner is where we believe that is where we put the foundation that will carry the child through and through the life, his or her life. And today, that's why we are saying it's one of the very important discussions that you are going to be having today, because these two departments, you need to talk to us today to say what is it, what is it that you are doing with this child that you are talking about, what is it that you are planning to do in future to make sure that we do create that solid foundation in the life of each and every learner that we have in the country. I know when you look at another presentation, as you move forward, because we believe this is not the end of this discussion, we must have even have health to come in and say, as health, how are they working with the two departments going forward? But for today, these are the two departments that form the basis of this early child development that we're going to be talking about here. And hopefully by the end of the meeting, we can be clear. And so we'll even be clear of the roles that each department, even when we exercise our oversight or role over the department, should be as well knowing as to say where what the police is saying, where are we, and what is it that you need to do moving forward. Maybe it will be very important then today that we do the introduction. These are two commissions. I know it's difficult. Sometimes we do introduce each other, but by the time we reach the very few of us are members who started, but at least it does give us a sense of who is in the house and what is going to happen. But I've been told, thank you very much, DG from Social Development. We are honored to have you with us leading the delegation from the side of social development. And from the side of basic education, we've got DDG Dr. Mabuya, who is leading to the delegation. As we do our introductions, I'll hand over to the leaders of the delegation. But maybe let me start by allowing honorable members to introduce themselves. I'm Malungelo Gina. I'm the chairperson of the basic education portfolio committee in the National Assembly. Can I allow honorable members to do the introduction?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Timothy Kosa, member of the basic education committee.
Morning, everybody. My name is Nokuli Chimachi, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Voice of Assault.
Morning, everyone. My name is Amanda Kassaman, the committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Osmaha, and I'm the Voice of Social Assembly. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Jerry Kungoni, member of the committee on basic education.
Morning, I'm Hanama Kwekle, Mayla Mashadela, basic education.
Good morning, my name is Andy Wolfson, I'm a member of the Social Development Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Gavin Davis and I'm a member of the Basic Education Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, I'm Deva Rathenewald, member of the Basic Education Committee. Good morning, everybody. Sonia Butler, member of the Education Portfolio Committee.
Morning, everybody. My name is Mam Suma, member of the Basic Education Committee.
My name is Patrick. My full name is Mabilo. I'm from the Committee of Social Development.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Can I hand over to Dr. Mabilo?
Thank you, Deputy and honorable members. I'm going to introduce my colleague from the Department of Basic Education, and I think I also know the Department of Social Development Program. My name is Mamiki Mkoya. I'm the DC responsible for curriculum, policy, monitoring and support in the Department of Basic Education. And I'm here with Marie and Louis Samuel, who is the director responsible for ECD at Basic Education. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chairperson and honorable members. My name is Tugozama Kwaza. I'm the acting director general for social development. I'm leading the delegation, though I'm not going to be doing the presentation. My colleague, Ms. Konyuma, is sitting on my right hand side, on the other side, will be doing the presentation on our part. We are together with Umam Musambeke, who is responsible for the ECT within the department. Behind us, we've got Ingrid Ngovu, who's our PFO in here in Cape Town.
Thank you very much. I believe we are not done with the introduction around the table.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Tiguan Manda. I'm the CFO for Basic Education here in Cape Town.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Elijah Mtam, Head of Communication for the Department of Basic Education.
The two ladies at the end of the table.
My name is Kathleen and members. My name is Jody Sanokena, funding advisor for the City of Society Development.
Can I find space for honorable guys, please? Yes. As you sit down, honorable Gadu, can you just introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm a member of the National Assembly and our Social Development and International Relations Society.
Good morning. Thank you, honorable chair. My name is Madine Berika. I'm a representative of the Social Development.
Good morning, all. My name is Dennis Bandy, Content Advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Good morning, everybody. Llewellyn Brown, Committee Secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members and colleagues from both departments. Mr. Brown, before we even engage on today's discussion, are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. I received an apology from Honourable Simon, who I see in the meeting. So, other than that, we have received a notification from the DG, who won't be able to join us this morning.
Okay. Social Development, are there any apologies?
Yes, I've received apology from one of our members, IEP.
she has another meeting against the second season of the running date. So the other member uses other commitments. Thank you very much. My name is Lindy Wanzabo. I'm the committee secretary for social development. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Wilson, I see you.
Thank you, Chair. If you can also please accept the apology from a member of the Board of Directors, Committee, Corin de Kock, who is away on maternity leave. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Honourable members and colleagues from both departments, as I said, we are awaiting to hear this foundation from the two departments that are with us. What I'm happy about is that we have got one presentation. This is a joint presentation because that is what we always look for, is to say, even when we come to joint meetings like this, where we've got an issue that cuts across both two or more departments, do we find that, you know, that presentation to reflect to that is something that has been discussed by both of you, whereas when it comes to the issues of pressures like we are coming to it right now. But let's indeed, you have managed to forward us a joint presentation, of which it shows that it's something that we have worked together upon, and we are waiting for you to do that. I've been told then, honorable members, that the presentations will be led by both departments, which I will hand over to Dr. Mabuya to take the first part of the presentation, then hand over again to Social Development, Mrs. Becker, to finish up with the presentation. Then we'll open up for discussions from what the presentation that they've made to us. Over to you then, Dr. Mabuya, on the first part.
Thank you once more, Chairperson. This is the presentation that has been jointly prepared by the three departments, as you rightly pointed out. And this is the overview of the presentation. These are the points that we are speaking to, the points, happy Mondays, as well as the entire agenda. Overview of status of children, overview of matter integrated ECCP policy, way forward, as well as the recommendations. But then I also want to point out that the DBE will be covering the first four blocks. And then from there, and then social development will continue with the presentation. The purpose of the presentation, or this presentation, is to provide a joint briefing to the two departments. So these are the country mandates. As you would know, the National Development Plan talks about PPP, but of importance here is what is highlighted in terms of the need for the holistic development of young children, which makes it imperative for us to provide comprehensive support and to also converge in terms of our efforts from several departments. In this case, it would be your social development, basic education, as well as the Department of Health, but also to ensure that there is also strong coordination to support us. In the next slide, what we are trying to do is also to flex those proposed actions from the ADP. And as you can see in the first column, we have those proposed actions. Amongst them, we have the fact that it is proposed that we should have 2 years compulsory preschool education for 4 and 5 years old, provide comprehensive cultural services, the strength of coordination that I mentioned earlier on, to standardize guidelines as well as norms and standards, and as far as the ECD program is concerned, to encourage innovation, differentiated infrastructure planning for early services, etc., broaden the definition to be more inclusive, and also to provide specific programs that are evidence-based, specific responses to the needs of the service, and to target the most vulnerable.
And in the next column, that will be progress, which will be pretty much covered throughout the presentation itself. And then we also make reference to the Sustainable Development Goals that achieve and replace our Millennium Development Goals. And in that also, the reprovision that is made in terms of education in general, but specifically also relating to ECD, to see that by 2030, we need to ensure that all girls and boys have access to quality ECD, care and pre-primary education, meaning that the Sustainable Development Goal number 4 is also about inclusivity, it's also about access, it's also about quality of our ECD program. The children's act, I think what is important here is the inclusivity nature of the act itself, where it talks about the ECD that should actually cover children from birth to school going age, which in this case would be 0 to 7 year old, that is in terms of what we have now as a country. But we also make a reference to the South African school text, because in the South African school text, provision is made for both from primary attendance and admission to schools. And as you would know, honorable members, in terms of compulsory attendance, the South African school text talks about the age of 7 years, which in this context would actually mean it's a must that children must be at school. And then admission, with respect to your grade R, being age 4 turning 5 by 30 June in the year of admission, and then also admission age to grade 1. So in terms of admission to schools, it's actually referring to what may be, what can be, whereas with compulsion is about a must. And then we're also reflecting on the lead partners today who is positioned where. In terms of your Department of Basic Education, we are talking about compulsory school going age, which is 7 up to 15 years. And then in terms of DBA, and that's DSD where we have areas where we share responsibilities, we are talking about admission to grade R, S4 and 5, or 4, 10, 5, to be found in both institutions and in schools. And then we also have birth until the year before the children enter school, which is 0 to 6, 5 or 6, and then where all the partners are now sharing responsibilities. The next slide is more about responsibilities, where we are saying from 0 to 4, we have all the departments are involved, because here we are now focusing on the improvement of access and quality of ECD programs, which would require that there is sufficient training of parents, caregivers, as well as practitioners and curriculum development. And then as far as grade R is concerned, as I indicated, you would have your grade R in community centers as well as in schools. So that is the responsibility to increase access and also to improve quality. And then in as far as your grade 1 to 3 are concerned, which is now the responsibility of GDP's only this, then you have the improvement of quality, because the issue of access, I think, we have been able to at least. And then overview of the ECD provisioning, this is where we are. We are saying of the 5.3 million children aged 0 to 4 in the country, this is where they reside. As you can see, most of them, probably more than half a million of them, would be found in Limpopo as well as in the Eastern Cape. And then when you look at what is contained there, more than 1 million would be found in Gauteng as well as in KZN. So this is where I think we clearly it also goes with the population of the country as a whole. And then the next slide says to us of the number that we have of 0 to 4 children that we have in the country, where are they located?
And we find that according to that survey, 43% of them are in rural areas and 56.8% are in urban areas. And obviously this could be attributed to the whole issue of urbanization. And then here we indicated the number of, or the percentage of 0 to 4 year olds who are accessing ECG facilities, whether it be your school, whether it be centers, whether it be your home education, as long as they are attending some ECG facilities, it's about 48.3% of them. And as you can see, from 2002 to 2004, there has been an increase, where in 2002 we're recording actually those single digits percentages, and then we're seeing things moved to double digits up to the 40s. And in the next one, it's about ECD and education, where we are saying 71.9% of children aged 0 to 4 are exposed to some form of early childhood development program. And these are children that could be found in daycare centers, in play centers, or play groups, etc. So it's not only confined to your ECD centers that you would know them. That's why the number would be bigger than what we had in the previous slide. And we are saying 80 of the number that we have of your 0 to 4, and then 80.4% of them are actually aged between 2 to 4. In the next slide, we are also showing provincial distribution of children aged 0 to 4 exposed to ECD development. That will be your percentage. And we have it there with Mpumalanga and KZN being in the 80s. And obviously the other provinces being below the 80s. And in the next slide, we are showing what we normally refer to as the gap year, which is your 5-year-old, where to see that how many, what percentage of them are attending educational institutions. And we are saying it's about 87% of them that are attending educational institutions. Children with disabilities, in terms of the general household survey, almost 2.1 million children in the country are having a disability, and that represents 11.2% of the total child population, of whom less than 500,000 would actually be children living with severe disabilities, meaning that the difference would then be children who are living with moderate to mild, you know, disabilities, like your hearing-related disabilities and vision disabilities. So that is the situation. And then we are then saying that, can we go back to that slide then? Yeah. This is the number of the percentage of them who are in attending education institutions. It's about 83.9% of them. And I'm sure this is also in line with what the NDP is taking to us, so that you also need to prioritize the vulnerable, you know, children. And in the next slide, which is slide number 21, we are also indicating the statistics, but of importance is also to note that of these learners or children who are living with disabilities, 28% of them would be your 0 to 4 year olds, and then only 10% would be your falling within the age group of 5 to 9. Disabilities related to sight and hearing are the most common, as I indicated, while approximately 1 in 10 children with disabilities was reported to have multiple disabilities. And that is the situation. And then can we go to the next slide? Next slide is about the foundation-based school. Here we just wanted to show where our 5-year-olds are mostly located. As you can see, in grade R, you would have most of your 5-year-olds. Then within grade R, you still have some 6-year-olds. And then you still have, but you can see that when it comes to the compulsory school going age, the number is getting smaller and smaller in grade R, meaning that most of them will then be in your grade 1. That is your 7-year-old.
And then in grade 1, we still have 5-year-olds, 18.1% of them. And then the 6-year-olds who are actually supposed to be in grade 1 and 53% and so on. So this is the situation that we wanted to portray. And then the next slide is about access to grade up now in school. We are talking about those who are in school, and we are recording a total number of 810,044 of these learners who are in grade R in school. And as you can see, over the years, that is from 2011 to 2014, there has been an increase in all the provinces, except to say that provinces will differ in terms of the rate of increase. If you look at it, you realize that, for instance, the rate of increase with regards to KZN, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo is quite substantial, with KZN having moved in 2013 by about 83,000 to what is recorded in terms of 2014. And you can see the increase from 2013 to 2014, from Mpumalanga is about 55,000, and for Limpopo, about 50,000. And but of notably, we also see that there is a very low increase rate when it comes to the Eastern Cape. And the next slide will also be more or less showing where our children are by age. And as you can see, the last but one. The last but the two bars, which is that of your age five, you can see that most of them are either in a school or in a gymnastics school. And preschool and that, and very few of them are actually not in education. So most of them, as I indicated, your 5-year-olds would be, who are in an institution, would be about 80+% as we indicated earlier on. So this is the picture that we have, and I will then stop at that point, Madam Chair, and then hand over to Professor.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I will continue with the presentation, starting with the policy itself. This policy was thoroughly consulted with all key stakeholders and civil society and approved by Cabinet in December last year. This policy proposed a certain approach in terms of implementation in the short, medium and long-term approach. It articulates a vision that as a country we need to make sure that all infants, young children and their families in South Africa live in environments conducive to their optimal development. And also this policy has proposed a mission statement to ensure that the vision is implemented, which is basically to provide a comprehensive program of quality ECDs that will be universal in nature, that will be universally available in sufficient quantities and proximity so that all children enjoy an equal opportunity to access such programs. These are the goals that are indicated. The policy proposes a phased approach in terms of the short term, which is basically up to 2017. Policy says we need to ensure that we establish and ensure that there's necessary legal frameworks and organizational structures and institutional arrangements. It's basically preparatory work that will ensure that we implement the policy. Mm-hmm. And must also indicate that this policy was costed at about over 17 billion. That's why you see there an amount that says 1% of that amount is for the short term, which is 265 million. In the medium term, which is up to 2024, it includes that we need to ensure that by that time we have programs that are age and developmental stage appropriate, which is comprehensive in nature and it's of quality. Where we're saying it's 52% of the costed budget of 13.8 billion.
and that long term is your Vision 2030 to the NDP. Here the policy is saying at that point we need to have availability of full comprehensive aid and developmental to the appropriate package of quality ECDs, which is also accessible, not only available, but it must be accessible to all infants and young children and the caregivers, because we believe that parents and caregivers play a very critical role in this area of work. And the percentage of budget of value that was costed was 7%, which is 12.5 billion. This policy proposes 15 key policy proposals. I'll try to summarize them and not go into detail. The first one is about age coverage. I think my colleague also spoke to issues of age and compulsory schooling, but this policy is failing. In terms of age coverage, we're saying we want to cover children from conception until the year before they enter formal school, which we first in the first 1,000 days. Or in the case of children's developmental difficulties and disabilities until the year before they turn 7, which marks the age of compulsory schooling or special education. This policy proposal may require change in policy, changing the framework that is currently in place so that we are able to implement what the policy is proposing. The second one is around making issues a public good. With this proposal, we're saying we need to recognize that the provision of ECD services should be regarded as a public good. This is based on the recognition that it does not only contribute to the development and outcomes of the individual child, but also to the growth and development of society as a whole in the medium and long term. So when you invest in children, you get benefits later in life. We are also saying there's a proposal of universal access. This shows the government's commitment to attain universal access to all to ECD for all young children in South Africa as per the region and the nation. There's a proposal also that seeks to dual government regulated models of public and private delivery of ECD programs, because we also acknowledge that ECD is also provided by private sector. So we want to make sure that that model is properly regulated. It's not left to private sector to regulate its own provision. Number five is around institutional arrangements. I think the policy acknowledges that we need to ensure that we affect leadership and coordination as governments in terms of making sure that ECD is provided properly, because at the moment it's largely within the NGO and private sector. The area of infrastructure is another proposal where the policy program needs to ensure that there is sufficient infrastructure for ECD services, which is properly linked to population-based planning to realize universal access that I spoke about, and also appropriately spread out within safe and reasonable physical reach, including needs of children with disabilities. The other proposal speaks to nutrition. It says that there needs to be nutritional support for women from conception during pregnancy. If we want to talk about the first 1,000 days, it means the issue of nutrition really is very important. And also nutrition for infants and young children. Next proposal. There's a proposal on social security. The policy suggesting that there should be pre-registration of income-eligible pregnant mothers during that first 1,000 days to have access to child support grants in the first day of the child's life. The other proposal that speaks to children with disabilities, we have acknowledged that most of the children are left outside the system. They are not accessing ECD services or stimulation services that they require. So this policy is suggesting that we need to ensure that children with disabilities are included in ECD services and programs. But mainly focus should be also on prevention, and screening and intervention, appropriate support and early learning and developmental opportunities. The next proposal is about the comprehensive ECG program itself, as to what is it that we should be eating. The policy is suggesting that we need to provide comprehensive package of quality ECG services with identified essential components, which means the programs on healthcare, nutrition, social protection, parent support and opportunities for learning and pain. The last five key proposals, there's one on human resources. We need to ensure that we have enough human resources to hire in sufficient numbers, with sufficient skills, because it's not only about numbers. We need skills to really ensure that we provide ECG service, both within the department and within the ECG sector itself. Another proposal of funding is to say we need to ensure that there's funding that is properly secured and distributed properly to ensure that that comprehensive package that I spoke about is properly funded, but we need to ensure that we deliberately prioritize children from poor families and children with disabilities. Communication strategy, I cannot overemphasize this one. It's very important because you need to ensure that you provide education and information and make parents and caregivers aware of the importance of ECG services and programs and how to access them, because some parents keep and caregivers keep their children at home and not take them to these programs. Issues of M&E is very critical. The policy is saying there should be a national and monitoring evaluation framework by DCME so that it is used to collect and provide information on the progress that we're making in the implementation, and that will also inform the review later on. Research, very key, as a last proposal. We're saying the research should be conducted every 5 years, so that we assess the impact of the national ECG policy. Now, who's involved in provisioning of ECG? We think parents are very key, because they are the primary caregivers. They are the ones that are creating that nurturing and the environment for holistic development of children starting at home. We also see government departments also playing a very critical role, the national department, provincial and local. Very critical non-governmental organizations, because they are contracted to provide most of the services, and they also enter in partnership with various government departments in ensuring that ECG is implemented in the country. Next slide. Now here we just figured out three key departments. We acknowledge that there are various in the policy, there are the list of all other departments that are playing a role, but here single out three. DSD as leading and coordinating department, what we are responsible for is basically registration of all partial care facilities and ECG programs. We are also responsible for funding, capacity building, ensure that we monitor all the facilities that we have registered and also develop programs and register such programs in collaboration with the Department of Health and Quality. Department of Health has indicated that they've got a key role in terms of the first 1,000 days. They ensure the implementing and compliance to all health-related legislative mandates that give effect to this proposal. And also they provide services to all children in respect of where they are, promote healthy pregnancy, birth and infancy, issue of immunization, nutrition, and also management of child illness, and lastly, prevention of mother-to-child transmission. Basic education is responsible for the development of the early learning curriculum, which is for back to 4 years, and also continuity and change between the early learning and the grade R curriculum. They are also responsible for budgeting and procurement of the training for the early child development practitioner, and also integration of key communication into the different responsibilities regarding healthy pregnancy and parenting into the school system. These are some of the structures that are needed to collaborate the work around ECG.
We have the INC. We also have the National Intergovernmental Committee, which meets on every second month. And we also have the South African Intersectional Forum for Early Childhood Development, which is a broader structure that also consists of the civil society organizations and private sector. This one is scheduled to meet twice a year as a full forum. However, we see there are subcommittees that meet more often to deal with specific issues. Your training and curriculum, your policy and legislative issues, issues of infrastructure, M&E, communication and efficiency, and also issue of donor funding. Next slide. Now we're talking about the progress that we have made so far in terms of implementing the CCG program and also some aspects that are proposed in the policy. The comprehensive ECD program was also developed and now it's been aligned to the ECD policy that was approved. The ECD policy position has been identified for alignment with the action that we have been implementing, so that there was a change there. Other of interest is to mention that we need started the university to be assisting the department by placing their students in ECD centers, which is their second year and the third year, countrywide for should be. In terms of the organizational structure, as a lead department, we took a conscious position to ensure that we review our organizational structure. Currently, this program is led by a chief director who is not doing any other thing but just ECD. But we want to expand to what we have done, taken the AR processes. Now we'll be alive in GPSA to compare with our proposal. Next slide. We have also done a feasibility study on options for infrastructural management and coordination in the ECD, because previously when we consulted with the colleagues, there was a suggestion that we need a ECD agency, and there were a proposal to strengthen the three key departments. So now we took a conscious decision to say let's the feasibility study so that we can be informed by the recommendation. This has been completed. What comes out as a recommendation is that we need a hybrid model that will ensure a systemic link between the ECD and broader government-wide coordination systems that are there. So we may not need an agency that is outside government or a private unit that is from outside government. We believe that this provides strategic and sustainable coordination and governance options, which will enhance the visibility of ECD within the current mechanism. The next step is really to make sure that we take this proposal forward and ensure that they are implemented. We also did a rapid assessment of local government bylaws, as we indicated that this policy might necessitate a review of certain legal frameworks, including the bylaws, because in terms of registration, there are certain areas that we have identified and key risk areas that need to be urgently addressed. We were supported in this exercise by UNICEF. The purpose really was to ensure that we have standardization of bylaws in terms of making that registration easy. The study has been completed. Interestingly, some of the findings is that by the end of 2015, there were municipalities, including the eight metros, that had bylaws related to ECD review. So these municipalities and the eight metros have started to look at their ECD bylaws so that they also have been continuously raising the issues. I think we should note that bylaws vary and they are not consistent in terms of how they ensure that the quality of ECD provided. A number of these bylaws, they focus on health, environmental health, while some also focus on childminders, ECD program, etc. So this process will assist us to standardize so that all the key elements that are required for the discussion are included in the bylaws. of the 208 municipalities that they are friends of, we couldn't go to all. But only 9 demonstrated some capacity to implement ECD services. The next step is to ensure that we work with FASA and COPTA and other municipalities to streamline the bylaws. And we have a plan of action that will lead to ECD policy implementation. Next slide. In terms of implementation of the policy that I've just presented, we are saying for us to cover the commitments, the issue of governance and coordination is very key, and social development, the leading with full involvement of other implementing departments, as I indicated. The issue of funding mechanisms, implementing departments, national, provincial, and local, are really supposed to ensure that the implementation funding mechanisms. The comprehensive program that I spoke about includes largely issues of health and nutrition, issues of social protection, parent support, early learning, public communication, standard of living, food security, play, and education facilities. The area of human resource and training is an area that DBE, DHET, DSB, DOH, and all other relevant departments are leading. Infrastructure, we are saying DSB, public health and local government through the IDP to ensure that infrastructure is provided. You see, as I talked to some of the issues, how we think this will unfold. Issues of MNE, GPME, CSA, and all these other departments that are implementing must make sure that there's proper monitoring and evaluation framework for implementation. Without boring you with dates, this is basically capacity building that was done after the policy was approved so that we all have common understanding in terms of what is expected. This was done in collaboration with health and basic education. Next slide. There's also training that is continuing because, as I indicated, we believe that parents and caregivers are very key. These are some of the dates we have a training package for caregivers and parents. So that it strengthens their parenting skills and responsibilities and provide them with information that they need and where to go. Next slide. Funding mechanisms. I just want to indicate that Treasury has allocated additional to the equitable share 812 million in the form of the conditional grant for ECD from next financial year. For 2017-18, it's 319.828. For 2018-19, 493.065. Basically, this allocation is to increase the number of children subsidized by 100,040 and improve 4,000 ECD sites by 2018-19. As I indicated, this allocation is in addition to what is currently existing in provinces. This will enable us, the National Department, to better control and manage and reinforce the expansion of ECD in the country in line with ECD policy, because sometimes when it's in the equitable share, it doesn't really go to ECD, it goes to other priorities in provinces. So this conditional grant really will affect in the short term and long term. What we're doing as a department is preparatory work this year to ensure that the conditional grant framework that clearly spells out how this money will be spent. But in addition to that, with the support of National Treasury, we are coming up with a sector financing strategy for ECD because we believe that ECD is not properly funded as it is now. Next slide. Now, talking to the registration drive that we're planning to start in October 2017 during the Social Development Month. We have drafted a national registration action plan because we believe that there are a lot of ECDs that are not registered, so we are really going to ask them to come forward so that we can start registering them and also ask them to put resources in place to ensure that this happens. We've also prepared provinces accordingly for that article. Though we acknowledge that some provinces that are really ahead, that have started with the registration that reaches your hotel, and we hope we need that to strengthen so that they meet the standards we are setting to achieve them. Next slide. Infrastructure. I spoke to the infrastructure, basically with the infrastructure plan, working with various stakeholders. We did engage with the GBE to ensure that where possible, how can we integrate within the existing primary schools some of the ECG programs. But also, we met with COFCA to discuss how can we utilize the ECG, because currently when we look at most of the municipalities ICTs, they are not planning to do the ECG. Also, we are saying in terms of funding, human settlement and cooperative governance and traditional areas, in terms of what is proposed in the policy, we will investigate directives to municipalities so that those funds are used to develop and maintain municipal infrastructure in order to support ECD. Your mid-year indicators and the urban settlement development grant, and also the integrated city development grants for the metros. But what is also important, honorable members, is that we are proposing a national ECD infrastructure grant in addition to the three grants so that we move with speed. We are talking to Treasury and they are in support, but it's not yet approved, to see whether they can allocate after the policy, the infrastructure plan is finalized, because it needs to be processed. And we need to indicate that we are also not going to build facilities in all the world. We are also saying non-center-based programs need to be advocated, although there's also an element of infrastructure there that is not as expensive as building a new fully fledged ECD, so that we increase reach and ensure that there's access for ECD. I think I've mentioned this point, next slide. We also want to talk about how ECD contributes currently to ECWT. Since the inception of ECWT, ECD has been one of the pioneer programs for this ECWT. We have, as we speak, about 28,000 work opportunities that are being created through the program across the 9 provinces in the just in the 16-17 financial year. These are contributed through both departments, which is the education and social development. And we also have more than 1,800 participants that are enrolled in training programs, such as the ECD NCF Level 4, and some form of ECD diploma that is there. As part of promoting convergence between the ECWT sector, there's also a collaboration now in the case between the ECD and Community Works Program. The ECWT infrastructure sector will also be providing technical capacity as part of the implementation of the ECD conditional grant for infrastructure improvement in the ECD. In terms of the way forward, in this slide, basically what we're saying is that within the first phase of implementation of the policy, these are the things that we're going to touch them up and complete, because some of them are in the process. You see the return date or the time frame is March 2017, because the first thing is up to March 2017. Next slide. Progress within basic education, as I indicated in terms of the key roles, the national curriculum framework that is being implemented. To date, the basic education has ensured that they train 170 practitioners and also officials from the provinces, from the social development of education, and 14 from social development were also trained from one province. And there are also a lot of training organizations and members of NGOs who really attended the training when the training was rolled out in various provinces, but this one specifically in the West Country. Next slide. There's also a set draft
of the 10th version of the National Curriculum Framework that has been finalized and currently being quite short. Braille and conversion into SASL will be commencing soon. And in terms of increasing the number of ECD centers that implement the curriculum framework, provinces are clear targets for the rollout of the National Curriculum Framework, which is articulated in this slide. You will see that in terms of the 22,670 registered ECDs, phase one in 2014-15, 95 of them were implementing the curriculum. In the phase two, which is 15-16 financial year, we have 4,180 participants implementing the curriculum. Now, training plans as the provincial ATP, these are the figures I want to go you with so that you can see how the training is rolled out in the provinces. Human resource area, there's a first draft, you know, I indicated that we need to ensure that capacity is strengthened. There's a first draft of the public of HR capacity, as I indicated, in the social development, in the health, and in the basic education at national and provincial level, so that we begin to identify the gaps and the required skills to implement the ECD in the country. Of interest to note is that the Minister of Higher Education Training directed the draft policy on minimum requirements for programs leading to qualifications in higher education for practitioners and educators in interviews care and that was done already in March for Capcom. We just need to find out how far the process is. But what is interesting is that we really recognize and realize that this process is going to be professional. The South African Qualifications Authority also registered the occupational certificate in early childhood development practitioner at level 4, already in February 2016. There are some innovations that basic education is coming up with or implementing the delivery of UCP services. There's online training that is taking place for 5,000 UCP registered contacts and 5,000 UCP practitioners on the same base learning. We also have established UCP centers of excellence across all provinces in collaboration with provincial departments, DSP and GOA and also municipalities. DDE is upstairs with National Curriculum Framework implementation in about 5,000 centers on a state-based learning in collaboration with UNICEF. There was also a round table that was held basically to assess where the sector is in terms of implementing ECD. Those are the teams that were guiding the roundtable discussion in terms of the commission that we held to strengthen the plan itself, improvement plan to quality, grade up, and also development and implementation of the sector plan. How can we partner better with NGOs, private sector, and national and international donors, and also the area of energy and research. And there are some of the recommendations that were made out of this round table. Based on legislation policy, it was really found that the SASA, that is the South African Schools Act, needs to be amended if we really want to ensure that we move forward with the ECD and align with the policy. Which of women have spoken to, we need to really ensure that we finalize conditions of service for ECD practitioners and grade R practitioners. Each of institutional arrangements that I've spoken to, also the round table proposed that we need to really immediately strengthen such interdepartmental and intersectoral collaboration by ensuring that the structure is good. The next one. The funding, we need to increase the funding for grade R learners, cost to that we should equal to grade 1 learners. In terms of programs, we said
we need to start an implementation of the hard national curriculum statement. We also need to standardize provisioning of ECD across the system. For monitoring the recommendation of that, we need to ensure that we enhance MME and research to measure impact and health progress as we implement the policy. In terms of the play-based learning, we need to strengthen the play-based approach with guidelines for teachers, parents, as well as school management teams as far as curriculum is concerned. In terms of training, we need to strengthen the play-based learning with a better understanding of the pedagogy of play. The learning and teaching support material will serve we need to provide guidance on the need for educational materials, whether they are made or bought, to support learning for both indoors and outdoors for our children. In terms of Department of Health, this is the next four slides speak basically to progress that has been made in terms of the 1,000 days issue that I referred to. This slide basically says it gave us statistics on the antenatal first visit before 10 weeks. You see the number in 15-16 is 599. Next slide. This one speaks to check on the mother postnatal visit within 6 days. The number is 649 in 15-16. Next slide. This slide basically gives us statistics on breastfeeding intra-exclusively breastfed. And the global rate that was given for hypertensive feet. Next slide. This is immunization coverage for children under 1 year. Next slide. Almost immediate. Then this table gives us statistics of children under 5 years with a fatality rate for pneumonia. You will see it's 1.2. This is for diarrhea. The next one is for severe acute malnutrition. There's another slide for weight forward. I think it may be a critical application of what has indicated in terms of the weight forward to ensure that we finalize the conditional grant framework, the sectoral management strategy, and the implementation plan for the sector. The other way forward really is to ensure that we have a database and that is developed, because we did an audit in 2013, but we need to ensure that we have an online database of all the ECDs in the country so that we can know how many we have to ensure that it's accessible. Okay, we can go on to the verification. DB basically wants to upscale the implementation of the national curriculum framework, as I indicated, and also finalize a concept plan for additional year of ECD before we are in collaboration with social development. I think this speaks to about 2 years of curriculum. Also continually to train 8,000 good art practitioners on the utilization of play-based learning supported by ICT of teacher center. In addition, there will be an activity booklet and a DVD on play-based learning collaboration with UNICEF. There are also some achievements that are mentioned in this slide. The National Curriculum Framework was approved in 2015 and implemented in 100 ECD registration centers. And also, provinces enrolled 4,130 ECD practitioners towards level 4 ECD qualification. Some of the things I think are reputation of what I've indicated before. Let's see what is under health. I think basically also is
Thank you very much for the presentation. Can I just raise one thing before I open up? For me, honorable members and colleagues from TKTV, in the presentation, there is nothing that is not convincing like. Let me make for an example. We are saying, very soon we'll be doing 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. The show does not say anything. Mm. We are in oversight, we are playing the oversight game. Mm. For us to get a presentation saying, very soon, really it does not mean much to us. There is nothing, we are not saying we need to hold you accountable, you know. Once you come up with a time frame, yeah, where you can hold you accountable, where we can know even ourselves as to where we are going. Like for an example, we'll come up with the Braille and SLSA natural version. It doesn't say a thing to us, you know. There are so many of such areas that I picked up as you move along. Officer really, talking to a way forward. We'll be doing 1, 2, and 3. Yes, it's good, it will be done, but we always request that you talk to us, you know. Let us show what you are coming up with here. But I'll say I'm not yet interacting that much. Let me open up for you, honorable members. That was a presentation given to us. For us to know where we are with ECG, with the basics, with the foundation for our children. So can I open up for you for whatever interaction, questions, input, areas of clarity, points of discussion, and whatever. Can I see the indication of hands for the members who want to ask something? Can I start with Honorable Majiko? Honorable Costa, who did I put on? Honorable Malchas. Why did you?
No, she's complaining.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Before Honorable Malchas, Honorable Bassoen. Yes. Okay, Honorable Shimang. Honorable Masabella, Nakavan Masabella, Honorable Mguni. For now, those are the hands that I've seen. Can I start with you, Honorable Majek?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I just have got two questions, or maybe one is the concern. I see that in your presentation you say compulsory going to school is from age 7. I'm trying to think between maybe 1 year to 4 years, and I see also the 5 years onwards. I think the cognitive stage of the child begins basically from a very early age than 7 years. I wonder what can be done in that process to make sure that these children are aligned, to make sure that they do go to preschool or something like that, as against making the compulsory age to the 7 years. I'm concerned about that. Number two, I also want to check what level of assurance of the safety of these learners in these programs. And lastly, what is the minimum qualifications of the teachers that are expected in this program? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Costa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to welcome the presentation from both departments. I'm having a few issues. Why one, maybe the first is with regard to the most vulnerable one, you indicated from the presentation that you are talking here of children with disabilities. I wanted to know from your side what are the plans in place to ensure that they all receive formal and proper education, because the majority of these children are in informal centers, and informal centers or formal schools, they are in a waiting list which does not indicate the period of waiting. These are the children who their education and transport is mostly dependent on the social grants that they are receiving. And these social grants, you know, with some other families, the families, the running of the families are also dependent on such grants, and extent that at times they don't go to those centers. In those centers are expected to pay their fares to the transport. So if the families depend on those grants, then they cannot attend, they are not at school. In rural areas, the situation is really not up to scratch. I don't know what happens in urban areas, since I'm coming from a very big rural area. It is also difficult in rural areas, because sometimes when you visit these centers, you check as to how are they supposed to be sustaining themselves. They will tell you that they are supposed to be asking for donations. It's very difficult in rural areas to get donations. They don't get or get very little donations to be able to do such. The learners are also not part of the NLNP, those that are in private institutions. We have a plan to ensure that we also assist such learners. The second issue, Chair, is with regard to the oversight on these centers. Who is responsible to ensuring that they are functioning well, their teachers are getting assisted. Lastly, from social development, you indicated some 208 municipalities that have been assessed, and you made the reference of the metros, where, as I indicated, I'm from very deep rural areas. I don't see most challenges in where you always pilot your team. I'm proposing, Chair, that sometimes when you do this, go and start from where serious challenges are. Mm-hmm. That is in rural areas. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much, Honorable Bashon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to fill up with the last speaker on rural areas, maybe because I'm from also in rural areas. My concern is on learners with disabilities on rural areas with a 0-4. How do we cater them whereby there are no resources of such to cater for rural for learners living with disabilities? And the second point is on monitoring and evaluation. More especially these NGOs and these fly-by-night centers, mm-hmm. where incidents happen, children are being died in hands of practitioners that are untrained. So, as the chairperson has said, time frame. I would like to know how soon are you going, or how are you going to address the monitoring and evaluation of these centers, especially the NGO centers over there. And there's this broad concept of comprehensive package. It is so broad and so intergovernmental that I would like to know how are you going to avoid overlapping each department. Like you say, from conception to art, who's responsible? Is it the CEO in Senate or is it then the PS, this Department of Social Development? And this nutrition under this comprehensive, who will see that that pregnant woman is getting a good nutrition during that? And how are we going to support them to get the good nutrition? Lastly, Jerese, the epidemic training. You have so much intake. I noticed that you mentioned that somewhere that you have about 28,000, but the training is only for 1,800. What about the whole 26? That means they are in centers untrained. That's why we get such incidents. And I'm concerned with provinces like Free State, Northern Cape, Western Cape, where they are not implementing or have no practitioners trained in phase two. It's only when you have those 10 incidents. No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marcus.
Thanks, Honorable Chair Person. I don't think I'll be long. But my question is linked to the very first question that was asked on qualification. I do have concerns, and I'm just talking linked to Honorable's question. The concern is the professionalization of ECD. And I'd like to speak to when it comes to the qualification that's proposed. It is NQF level 4. But many a times within social development, especially in algebra areas, it is the older women looking after children. And the qualification there, I assume is it's the NQF level 2 or perhaps none at all. Now I think I'd like to know what are we going to do when it comes to training of these women, because what happens, some could be retrainable and others not retrainable. And people will be losing jobs that's been looking after our children all these years. So I think I'd like to have an answer to that. Then when it comes to conditions of services to ECD, within early childhood development, within social development, it's a cycle. And I believe within education, through basic education. And how far are is the Barton Council on the condition of services for ECD within our schools? And then the other thing is, and what happens in social development when it comes to the same conditions of services? Then lastly, I'd like to just ask a question on IDEA when the presentation was made. The norms and standards of our census. Because when it comes to social development, I know that the National Development Agency inspected 20,000 census. And we have a census that are in the largest. Why? Because it is just bringing up. Mm-hmm. And what we do about that? Those are my only questions. But I think you were very correct, Chairperson, when it comes to timelines, because first of all, just work on something within the area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I do appreciate this joint presentation and I realized, of course, that these are all stakeholders, the basic education, health, social development, and then you add the NPOs and the NGOs. My concern is how do they share responsibility? I don't know whether it is problematic in one way or another for them to work together. Is there one department that is an arts department that is coordinating what is happening, or are they working in silos, and is this disadvantageous or advantageous? Then there is also a question on the children with disabilities. We appreciate the attention that is given to these children, because in the past very little was done for children with disabilities. But I realize that even so, even now, there is a focus on these disabilities or children with disabilities. We still find backlogs. I just want to establish whether there is a big prevalence of these backlogs, or whether we are winning the war. I say this after looking at slide number 21, where we are told that against this backdrop, many children with disabilities are substantially less likely to attend school than their non-disabled peers. We are told in one rural study only 42% of the children with disabilities identified were receiving rehabilitation, etc., etc., etc. But I also find some statistics very difficult to interpret what is going on. If I'm looking at number 20, slide number 20, and I take KZN, you find that in 2009, 80% of these children were attending school. But in 2011, the statistics have gone down to 73%. And then in 2013, it's gone down to 75%. In 2014, it comes up to 84%. If one thinks about planning and budgeting, it must be very difficult. I just don't know where these fluctuations are anticipated on the ground, or how are they managed and things like that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashabe. Honorable Mashabe.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. My question is based on Lena's children special education. The first question here, Honorable Chair, do we have enough practitioners who are trained to teach these learners with special educational needs? And again, do we have enough infrastructure for these children? Lastly, do we have learner teacher support material for these learners with disabilities? If not, what? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ngoni.
Thank you. That was sufficient. I want also to appreciate the integrated report. And for me, because indeed, although there are children this up. If I can also get the quality, how do we ensure the quality assurance of the curriculum that is given to these learners, and more especially on these external centers that are not attached to schools. I want to echo the issue of the condition of employment. I did not see you talking about the condition of employment for those employed externally and even internally, because how long will it take for these hospital supervisors to be terminated? And what qualification do you need in because you said there are those who have diplomas or still length of diplomas and the MQ level 4. The grade R, those who are attached in schools, and those who are, those schools are attached in their external centers but also attached to schools. Do you have any means in consultation with the Department of Education, the Department of Education, do you have any means to put those learners into the school overall enrollment and be counted as learners in the school? Because currently they are not part of the school enrollment. They are just put on the, on what was, what was that thing? Yeah, they just put there, but they are not counted as learners, and they don't have any weight when it comes to them. So that if they are counted in, they can also benefit from things like scholar transport and the like. And then lastly, I want to request, on percentage of the 0 to 4 children attending school and the like, the food percentage, I will have large. They give us numbers so that you will see the growing number of, you see, the percentage 2 things and 1, you know, 2 things, if 1 goes up, it's 50%. You know what I'm saying? So it does not give a clear picture, 1 number. If you can get the number, then in practice, then we put your percentage, will also will appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I'm trying to get my head around this issue of selectivity and the function of municipalities and what's expected of them. Is it in that through just that we're not getting what is expected of them, or is there something new? I didn't quite pick up what was new and what was just not being done and not happening. So what's new, what is expected, what are the main challenges there, how can we focus in terms of things, because obviously that's the nearest to the ground. The other thing that was concerning there is training in terms of mindset for people who are working at a local level in municipalities, because as we said, a lot of these places would be garages or back rooms and things. An idea would be not to be running in search of perfection to shut down everything that starts up. You want to help everything that starts up become better. So, and that's going to take a huge amount of training and getting people's mindset to want to work with what is, because obviously what is usually started because somebody has that desire to do it, rather than encouraging somebody who's just studied into something. So to getting the two together. And then the other thing would be bursaries, talking about ENISA and putting people into second and third year or whatever, but are there bursaries available for this? Because to bring people into studying, and if so, how do people get to know about these bursaries? Are we putting it out there now? Are we accessing, are we giving the right people the opportunity to move into the career? So, so as members of parliament in our constituencies, we need to know if there are bursaries for UNISA and how we can link people or the right people to these things. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Wilson.
Thank you, Chair Person. I refer to page 13, slide number 26. We had a presentation on the South African Program of Action for Early Childhood Development on the 20th of August 2014. Furthermore, we had a presentation on the ECD training, which was presented by the Education Department on the 11th of June 2013. This slide refers to the ECD policy being developed through extensive consultation process with stakeholders in the ECD sector, both government and non-government organizations. It then says that this ECD policy was approved by Cabinet on the 9th of December 2015, and implementation of the policy will be done in phases in terms of short, medium, and long term.
I can only speak on the Department for Social Development. We have not seen this policy. It has not been presented to us. Short-term, medium, and long-term plans on this policy have not been presented to us. We are discussing how that this something that this portfolio committee has not yet seen, and how can we be being oversight on something that we are not aware of, let alone the fact that it's been approved by Cabinet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Wilson. Honourable,
my question revolves around the slide number 72, which is on page 33, which talks to the way forward. And I am just for all, I appreciate the fact that the implementation is safe and that some of the things have already been done, but I see that the very crippling and yet looking like time-consuming aspects of the plan are yet to be finalized. And that is the one end part of the question. And the idea is, should we take the bullet such as finalization of the sector financing strategy for ECB that was planned for to be done by June 2016, should we take those things as having been done? I'm just worried about the cutting file for this very important plan to be implemented, and would like to know if those things are going to allow it to happen. For example, the first colleague talked to the development of the ECB database, which is and things like that. I just like some comfort around the timing and the timeline of the implementation and thank you, Chair. And the second question goes to I heard, and I always get nervous when I hear things like something is on online and things like that, because I think the background of coming from rural areas where things are the last to reach those areas. When one sees online and all those things, you wonder if there's dedicated and deliberate strategy to actually reach out to those people and actually make sure that they are covered. And even as far as the recruitment of the registration, if they dedicated or deliberate in fact, strategy to ensure that those are there. I just missed it during the presentation, but I just would like to mention. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mabili.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think I must also express my sincere gratitude for the integrated approach to this very important issue. Okay, I would not want to be funny. I've got a red pen here. And I think it will be important that the departmental officials, especially the basic education, they must quality assure their documents. You know, any small mistake, whether it's grammar, it's spelling, it's a sore eye for us. For example, on page 3, on the NDP proposal, the first one is 2 years compared to blah. They say implications are being finalized for a future decision. And there is a it should be finalized. So I'm saying, but we take it if you are taken for granted that we don't know. It's not about the grammar, English or syntax. It's about the content that we are saying. It's clearing. It must not be repeated. I've seen it. I wanted to touch. Then, there's no doubt, Honorable Chairperson, that ECB if should be seen as an investment. And I'm particularly attracted to this item or maxim. They say early success on ECB breeds later success. And just as early failure breeds later failure. So for me, this is quite fundamental and important that we move with the question of ECB on a proper sound footing. Because international experience has proven that all learners who have gone through the experience of ECB before, ultimately higher education and access. So the question of investment is very important. But what I have not seen, Honorable Chair, is that there's emphasis on access. Okay? But there's no regress, there's no equity, there's no quality. Those three are interlinked. There's no
point in having ratification of ECD, but there's no quality, there's no regret. Because we are pretending that we are moving from a point of view that says everything was normal from the world, which is not the truth. So for me, what will be more important will be access, but it must be coupled with reverse, it must be coupled with quality. And I think some of the members have highlighted the fact that in some of the informal ECG sessions, it's just the children are just sleeping and eating and water. That's what we mean by quality. They must be cognitive development as raised by them. So those are the things that should be looked in. And Honorable Nguni has also raised the question of quality assurance and so forth. So those are the two critical areas. But we know that there is a high excess of qualified practitioners. How they qualify the need? And there's no retention strategy to address skills deficit. Therefore, it's a bottomless point. So I think, Honorable Chair, they must give us a view in terms of, are they having a retention strategy? If not, why not? And are there timelines to develop that? They must also have a sense of the turnover. How many are leaving the system? Is there a balance between those who are attracted and those who leave the system? Okay, my colleagues have spoken about the remuneration, but one of the problems is that the remuneration is still not uniform. It's different from province to province. I know the province that I come from, Northern Cape is staying one of the highest. There's a difference of 3 rates. It's material. It's substantial. So the question of uniformity as a part of incentive is very important and key. School feeding scheme. Currently, the ECD sector doesn't benefit from the school nutrition. And these are the elements that should be built in. It's a recommendation. As we move forward. This will include what we do also raise on our own. So I think I'm not throwing out the baby with the bath of water. There is hope, but there are just teasing challenges that should be addressed. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I hope I'm not looking out everyone. Anyone? Can I also throw some questions? The first one, I must appreciate the conditional grant, the additional funding that will be given to the provinces. Though I'm worried, my colleague, you know, with the province, most of the time when in the effective share, they don't lose it to what it's supposed to be, it's because somewhere, somehow, we're not taking seriously that competence, you know. For me, physical development, basic education, this is the core of this. This is the core function in physical development, again. It forms part of the very important programs that must be taken care of. It's a worrying factor, then, if we see the provinces, you know, using whatever funds is there. But let us show them with the conditional grants, as we are hearing today, would be in a position, even us as public representatives, to make sure that we do make follow-up on that, just to say that grant is used for what it is supposed to be used. But really, I think we must commend that one. I'm also very interested on the issue of infrastructure on the part of social development. Yes, in the presentation, you raised the fact that we are not looking at each and every ward having a structure or whatever. So, if I can get clarity, what is it that you're looking for? What plans are you having when it comes to the issues of infrastructure? What is it that you must await to see when you talk of building your centers? You know, just give us a clear picture when it comes to that. Slide 23, access to great questions. For me, that has been a very interesting. Now, one of the very interesting lines, looking at the way the numbers fluctuate in the provinces, I can definitely say there are lessons that we are learning from that slide. It's either we are saying, I'm happy because you said about 80% now has got access to, you know, meaning that it's one of the things that our communities are learning to know about. But again, looking at that tonight, I don't know what lessons can come up with from there. I was saying, there are so many, really. There are years where our people are not eager to, you know, or I would say in some other years the birth rate has gone down. In those, I don't know, but I would love to get an interpretation of that slide yesterday from you gathering that data. What is it that you have learned? Because I believe there is something that you can learn from there. Good people, on slide 22. I know those things might happen, but I was saying there is a 5-year-old that is in grade 3. Do we have such learners? If ever they are, really, I know there are those over gifted learners, but I'm saying, are we seeing, is that the true reflection of what you get? The whole plan, the 9 years still, in, you know, what is it that you can say? And for me, if you see those 9 years still in grade 1 and 10.1%, something again that says department, what is it? Let's talk to that, because that's an intervention, that's like need attention. It just cannot be let like that. It's something that is alarming for me when you look at it. Okay, can you just go there? You may respond.
Let me appreciate the comments and the questions that have been put to us. I think they can only help to strengthen the work that they are doing. Mm-hmm. And others are really very, very significant eye-openers for us. The questions, I think I would like to respond in areas where this is concerned. And then from there I will leave to other questions to then respond. And the issue, the first question which came from Honorable Macheke regarding compulsory school going, which I think the concern was to say that you need to be inclusive in terms of, you know, accommodating them the other years. I think this is exactly what the NDP is proposing, that we increase we expand the compulsory school going age so that it includes even your 4 year and 5 year old. This is exactly what we are trying to address by way of also reviewing our policies and so on. And safety of learners, I think social development is talked about because they are mainly responsible for the centers, but the GVD is actually responsible for the curriculum. Then the minimum qualifications. Yes, indeed, when we report here, we are pushing in terms of the formal training, which would relate to your NTS level 4, but you also reported on training, other trainings that are play-based, in which case, those are very hands-on type of trainings, and that would accommodate everybody who's giving care to the students. It doesn't really need that high level of literacy for you to be able to do this. We also need to acknowledge the fact that we are here talking, of course, about mothers, about grannies who are offering this type of support, and that's why we try to be innovative in terms of saying, what are the other training models that we can look into that can accommodate everybody? So I'm sure the issue of PQF level 4 comes in where we are thinking of when you now incorporate your other years, 4 and 5, into formal schooling, because then you wouldn't want to run a parallel system. You would want an integrated system where the teachers in those schools and practitioners would be regarded just as teachers. And on the issue of, I'm sure that one has been done, and we're also accommodating flexibility in which case we might go to an extent of maybe having an engagement with DHEAD to say what qualification that is very basic that can be given to these caregivers and practitioners. And then from Honorable Kwaza, it was about the disability learners or children with disability, whether there are any plans in place to ensure that they finally get proper education
of quality and so on. I'm sure that we also have to take cognizance of the fact that, because I remember Honorable Kosa also talked about the meeting list and so on. So you recall that when we in the next slide that talked about disabilities, we tried to say that there are those learners who are having serious disabilities. And those are the learners who actually have to go through this center. But the number and the percentage is quite low as compared to those who are having mild to moderate, which is the group that can normally be, you know, accommodated in your ordinary center, where you just need to give training to those practitioners. And I think it also goes with the question that was posed by Honorable Mashaba, that says that we have people who are trained. We cannot say that we're setting here at this stage, because as DBE, we have over the years been responsible mainly for your learners who are in school. And for such centers, it has only been, you know, making sure that the curriculum is replaced. So there is still a lot of work that needs to be done. Because just like in your ordinary school, where these learners with mild disabilities, like the hearing problems, who need to be just given some assistive devices for them to be able to hear, who should also be given learning and support materials, which are, you know, in large screens and so on. So I think this is what we really have to work on, to ensure that we don't only show the statistics, but we also reflect on the type of programs that we are offering to these centers. Yes, indeed, I don't think we've really done a lot in this regard, despite the fact that we are aware of the situation in which these learners are. So we really need to do something about that. And then we also had another a question, I think, just coming from Honorable Person, regarding the support to learners with disabilities, especially in rural areas. I think this is a very important point that needs to be taken note of, so that as and when we package this support, we are quite cognizant of, you know, the rurality of some of these settings, and we begin to pay special attention to that. The issue of time frames, I think that is a very fair comment, and we will ensure that definitely where and when we indicate, you know, what we need to do, we'll also put some time frames. I think this one is welcome. Comprehensive time package. Out of avoid overeating. I think this is exactly why we emphasize the issue of coordination. Because if we are working together, then it is easy for us to say, but why do you have to do this? And I think what we will be doing in our next engagement and interdepartmental program is to look at what you call your business processes, so that we begin to delineate clearly to say, when it comes to this particular delivery, this is what DLD is doing, this is what H, you know, so that we don't just do it broadly to say this is the focus, but for each and every area that we have to work on, it is important that we have straightforward, clear business processes, because that will avoid the issue of duplication that we are talking about, and it will also promote the issue of accountability, such that some areas are not left unattended to simply because I'm waiting for social development to do it, to do it. So we should be very clear in terms of what we need to do. Yeah. And the conversations that we have done with, we're done with that. And the issue of conditions of service is very important. Yes, indeed. This is one area where we need to exercise our mandate as department, where we have to come up with a clear framework, not to standardize what is happening. And this is long overdue. This is an issue that came out sharply from our roundtable discussion on ACP. And we must say that in our next presentation we will be able to be clear time to say where are we in terms of this and where are we going, because this has not been quite a complex. And
state that with regards to the bargaining contract, I'm not sure if Mar would be able to talk this, whether this has already been taken to the bargaining contract. Maybe something that you will have questions about. And Honorable Freeman, how do the department share responsibilities? I think I've had to talk to this one, or speak to this one, by saying that we need to have those two appear in this process of line. Yes, indeed, there is a lot of backlog with regards to the education of learners with disabilities regarding funding and other issues. And maybe as I indicated that as all these departments that are involved in this, so perhaps also including other partners. The NDP is actually saying, the NDP is taking cognizance of the fact that funding might be a problem. So it says to us we need to come up with innovative funding models, whereby you don't only want to depend on the grants, you also want to involve business, to involve donors and so on. So I think this is where we really need to work very hard as well as departments to try to come up with innovative ways of addressing some of the issues that have been raised. Definitely the issue of funding is a problem. And I think also this relates to the issue of NSNP and scholar transport. The fact that in terms of the South African Schools Act, the compulsory school age is 7. So when you do NOMSA standards for funding, which is for learners, obviously it would exclude those who are, remember we said in terms of compulsory, it's a must. So the government would take responsibility, full responsibility for those who must be in school. And for admission, it says they may be, they can be admitted. So that gap, I think, this is where we need to really close it. And also working together, we can find a way of saying social development, this is your responsibility for finding these kids when they are in centers. Why can't those resources follow them to where they go? Something like that. So maybe something that we need to innovatively look at and say how can we resolve this? Because everything, it is a fact that in some schools, these learners do not benefit from this. And you should also remember that even in terms of funding of grade R, it's very difficult because the funding of grade R, we are actually allocating 50% of what is allocated to a grade 1 learner. So issues of redress again will come in because in your affluent schools, where the school fee is very high, then the SGBs are able to cover that gap. And in your poor rural communities, it means those learners might end up not being fed at all. Or if they have not been transported to schools. So if issues of inequality is redressed, then come in to say, how do we close the gap?
Can I probably allow to pause a little bit and maybe allow social development to get their bias? And then thereafter, maybe I will also try to look at the other things. Thank you, Chair Kelsen. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will try to deal with questions that are related to social development. Let me start with the issue of safety. That was before. Basically, we move from the premise that there are non-standard standards that we follow in terms of registering the ECD centers. And we've categorized the registration into three categories. We have bronze, we have silver, we have gold. So based on the fulfillment of these requirements, we register you according to that and provide support. However, the issue of safety, we ensure that there are exits because in small cases, children are prone to fire and all that. We don't register you when there are certain things that we say these are no-go areas or non-negotiables. The issue of two exits, for example, and the issue of cooking, children cook, children are sleeping, an example. But the whole list, there's a whole list of non standards and requirements in terms of ensuring that we
secure our children because we don't want to put them in danger for it. We regard ECD as a protection measure for our children. What we did week at is monitoring of each and every center after registration. Mm-hmm. It's something that we still need to ensure that we use ECWT or other means for monitoring. That's why I put soldiers to visit physically each and every center to make sure that the compliance is taken over. In that area is one thing we need to extend and strengthen. Then the area of municipalities as to whether maybe why 208. We are fully aware that there are more manufacturers than the 208% that are found in Genesis. I think when the assessment was done, we focused on 208. When we searched, we covered both urban and rural. So from there, we can make a recommendation from the outcome of the assessment. But I think we take a point that maybe we should have visited each and every municipality because we need deeper in terms of the rural nature. The other question is, how do we monitor NGOs? Basically, what we're saying is that we register these NGOs and we also fund them. But my issue is the issue of monitoring again. I think it goes to what I've just said to say. We're still weak. We're not very strong on the monitoring side of the NGOs that we registered and also the ECG in terms of compliance. The comprehensive package, what is labeled responsible? The comprehensive package, I'm just giving the policies outlined, but I'll just give the first 1,000 days basically is about immunization, nutrition, but start with pregnancy, immunization, nutrition, antenatal and postnatal, and also community health care, which is primarily the responsibility of us. That is why they are very important in terms of implementing the policy. We can't talk the first 1,000 days when health is not on board. And unfortunately, they are on board in terms of implementing the program, and they are very cooperative and attending all the stakeholder meetings. The other element of this comprehensive package includes your play groups, your mobile ECGs, your toy libraries, your center base that is traditionally known where there's a structure, and also the parent caregiver capacity building program. This is the way of just giving examples. In terms of qualification or also professionalizing the ECG sector, more especially those that are in the 0 to 4, because GDE is only interested in the ones that are in schools that are doing great jobs. Mm-hmm. But they need to change that mindset to say, how do we then cater for us? Mm-hmm. But what we're doing currently, social development, we have included them, the category of practitioners that are within 0 to 4 in our social service professions policy, so that they can be professionals and could be regulated within the South African Social Service Professions Council, so that they find a home, because currently they don't have a home. GBE is not a catering for them, so we are including them so that they are part of it. So the conditions of service are not even at a discussion level because they are categories that have been neglected for some time. So we believe that once, because we finalize the policy, we need now to say how do we review the current legislation to include them so that they can register as practitioners in the council for them to get recognition. Coordination of ECG, I think in the presentation we did try to indicate that USD is the lead in terms of coordinating other core departments that are providing ECG services. And I think it's clear in terms of roles and responsibilities of applying the new policy as to which department is doing what, and also in terms of the comprehensive package that I've added to earlier on. I think we take note of the comments that we made in terms of clarity in terms of statistics and also the time frame. I think we will really improve because I think the comments from the honorable members also are aimed at improving the provision of services and also on how we present information to consumers. The other area that I want to speak to is numbers of children who are attending ECD 0240 because there was no slides specifically for that category. Currently, we have 1.5 million children that are accessing ECD, both from private and those that are subsidized for people of differentiation. However, within that school, we're subsidizing almost 1,999,000 children who are subsidized with that 15 bands per day, per chapter attendance for 2 to 4 days, but also we need to say not all provinces are complying with the 2 to 4 days because of lack of resources. However, the engagement of Treasury is that with the current reach that we get, they want to try and balance and assist those provinces to make sure that the 2 to 4 days is attended. In terms of what is wrong with municipalities or what is expected, I think the challenge that we have been experiencing when we register ECGs is the issue of bylaws, the inconsistencies in the area of rezoning, other areas of requirements in terms of health issues. So we said we need to standardize based on what the politics is proposing to make sure that when we register, we all at the same level. Because you go to this municipality, they are rezoning bylaws are different. You go to another municipality, they are not. So those basically we're talking about in terms of even the assessment we're doing was to check what are the bylaws that are existing regarding provision of HCD so that we can assess if they are in line with the policy. I think for now I will just say unless we have something. For infrastructure, what are we talking about? In terms of infrastructure, I indicated in the presentation that we're dealing with infrastructure plan which will finalize in March 2020. What we're looking at will be population based. We're looking at the number of children of that age cohort that will require ECD programs. And as we draft the plan, the infrastructure people are asking us, they're looking at where can ECDs be built in terms of the norms? And then where can they have, not like when you have a clinic with mobile services. So with ECD, where can you have mobile ECDs? You mentioned that can ensure that you reach an extended number of children. Because it's a reality, it may not be affordable to build at once, but how then do you make sure that access is ensured in terms of availability of non-centralized programs that can be operated by the center that is in a particular ward to go out to different communities that provide services. I think for now, the reminder card left something to respond to. We also use containers in that case of using physical structure. So the infrastructure plan will be very detailed. We'll be able to come share with the committee once it's finalized.
Okay, thank you very much. So you said you're waiting for 2017 to finalize that. Did I get you well? 2017.
End of financial year.
Yes, okay. Okay, I can see honorable members of further acts, honorable Wilson, honorable question.
Thank you, Chair. My question remains unanswered. Why was the ECD policy not brought to the portfolio committee and presented to us? We cannot do oversight of policy. We haven't seen yet the implementation of the policy, and that is our function and that is what we have to do. Thank you.
What I'm going to do now, I will want you to send the department, not at all. But maybe from the side of basic education, we deal a lot with ECG, the grade arms and what that informed us when we knew that there was a policy that has been, approved at cabinet. That is why we took it upon ourselves, as you say, together with social development, as to say, if there is such a policy, let us have a hearing as we have done today, as to say, this policy includes the two departments, even above this, health, unfortunately we couldn't have health today, but for basic education and social development, that is why from the programs that are always in this on, it was very important that we must have such a session, both committees, where we can get to the update as to say, yes, the policy has been approved by cabinet, what is entailed in the policy. For me, Honourable Wilson, as I've said even in the opening, I feel this is the start where both committees, we need to know what is it that we need to do when we play an oversight role in our department. Then together from here, we can go to a separate committee and say, this education we have had on that policy that is, you know, is in the shape of all the other departments. Then what is it basically that basic education needs to continue doing here? And I believe social development, you will be taking your route again, as you say, from the policy that has been presented to us, all of us together. Then there are specific roles that must be played by social development, and we expect you as social development to be such. And also as health, in this policy, I think, there are roles that need to be played by health, then the health will contribute. I feel this is the first time that the policy is presented to both committees, and together we are here, then we'll be starting this journey on our various committees moving forward. Honourable question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not asking too much from the department, Chairperson. Unfortunately, yesterday I was with the children. That is why I'm very much touched. My follow-up is, why are these children with disabilities still relying on for their education and transport to the ground that they should be buying serious issues such as sanitary toiletries and groceries, while those that are normal receive free education? Are we being serious? Are we really being serious looking at them? Don't we think they deserve a special attention? You know, and you see the situation that I was yesterday. If you are not strong, you will be crying today. It's not good outside there. It's not, you know, when the mothers who are assisting the children are to say, because we even invite the parents, to say, you bring these children, you don't even bash them. We have to see to it that we do such things. Yeah, at school, it's not done in school. It's just
no television. Thank you, Mr. Kosha, for being a strong man, because you're not crying.
Thank you.
But, yeah, Mr. Kosha, I've said something.
Thank you, Mr. Kosha, for being honorable member. Just responding to this one. I think the number and standard relating to the allocation of funding differs, whereby your special schools will get more than what other, you know, criminal schools will get, public schools. That's one point. But unfortunately here we are talking about a group of learners who would be some of them in schools and some of them in your but I think the point that I made earlier on was also that this is one area where I think we really need to take attention. If we are to go the route of increasing access, looking at redress issues and quality, we really have to pay special attention to this. And also maybe responding to other outstanding matters that I could not finish. I think we have taken as a department cognizance of the comments that we got from the committee or the joint committee, whereby we are saying we will definitely look at issues of quality assurance with regard to this, the presentations, and we will also try to include all the time numbers, you know, as opposed to reflecting only on percentages, because indeed percentages can be very misleading. Mm-hmm. And we also need to address the issue of the retention strategy, because of course it is a fact that other prostitutes, once they get the necessary qualification, then they meet us and then we start our prayers in terms of recruitment. And there are fluctuation in provinces. I think what we're going to do going forward is to ensure that we don't only reflect numbers, but after each and every table that contains numbers, we should be able to give a qualitative analysis of what is displayed in those data. Very important. And the interpretation of the data. The issue of online training, we need also to mention that with regard to training, we have adopted a blended approach where you are not only talking online, but you also talk about other models of training. Because the online thing you did might not be very relevant for people who are in the rural area. So we are actually using a number of other strategies that are or platforms for training. And just to address the issue of access, because we want to as many people as possible to access the training. So online training would be one of them, just one of them. And then Marie, you might want to talk about this thing of bazaars.
Yeah.
But I must also indicate that my experience in provinces is that it has been very difficult to train practitioners using the skills levy that's allocated to provinces. The reason being that is because that 1% actually is supposed to benefit teachers, right? So that if you want to train this, you'd rather go the route of your teachers. So this is what I think many provinces have been using the eating procedures to train this. But for as long as these practitioners are not part of the formal schooling system, then this becomes a challenge. Because once they are part, then they will also be paid the 1% school levy, and therefore they will be able then to benefit from it. As it is now, they are only benefiting from a small portion that goes to the teachers. Okay.
But before we go to the summary, I want us to move towards the end, having resolved and agreed on certain points. When it comes to the issues of curriculum for grade F, the GBE, we are fine. But as we are here as the joint committees, we are talking of curriculum from the very early stage. Where are we there? I know we have talked on the issue of training, playtime, and what right. Is that the curriculum, can we hold it? Then go out there and say, when it comes to what the standardized things, that needs to be done in the centers themselves, whether they are attached to schools or those centers where the student development is in charge. What are we saying? Because I think it was a sentiment from most of the members here saying, let us not have the caregivers where you just take your life just because you are going to work and take it to mama to take care, you know. There are so many times, crashes, you know. But can we come to stay here as these departments and from the policy that we are having, let's talk to the issues of curriculum. We are saying here, we are laying the background for a journey for this time. What is it that we are coming up with when it comes to it? Oh. Okay, the additions on that, Honourable Basanda and Honourable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure you have a question or answer. The reason why are the provinces that are not complying in this training? I'm worried because not in the part of those provinces that do not comply. What have you learned to do for it? And they haven't learned that in these bazaars and in institutions, there are those who are registering under private institutions of UNISA. What is the criteria to be registered as a ECD practitioner? Because I have people who have completed these courses but now are unemployable because you just said you were not associated with the system.
Thank you. Honourable Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the point that you raised is very important, because we need to start dealing with early childhood development from a very early age, because it is supposed to be the foundation to grade our grade one. And we're talking a lot about practitioners and about ECD centres, okay? But in many of the rural areas that I've travelled to, where there is no access to ECD centres, ECD, or early childhood development, becomes the responsibility very often of granny, or of an auntie, or of an uncle, or a mother, even a mother who doesn't, is unable to get herself ECD centres. What are we doing to train those people? Because the children still require the early childhood development. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. The last point that I want to make was the recommendation. You know, I've gone through the conference resolutions of the previous ECD conference, and one of the key issues that emanated is the question of the finalization of conditions of service. And I don't think we can have all with this matter. So one recommendation from my side here would be today they must fast track the finalization of conditions of service. So today there must be finalized certainty for the practitioners. That's one thing. Certainly the question of the RPL that also should be taken. These are my two. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much.
The NCS, I think the one that first mentioned said that there has been quality assurance. Definitely it has been subjected to that process of quality assurance. And when it comes to the issue of long-term standards, the NCF itself is a framework that actually does it with us to ensure that the standards are the same. But that is only a deadline. Where we need to be strong is to ensure that there is also uniformity in terms of implementation.
Yes.
And as we have acknowledged, together with our sector finance, we need to strengthen our monetary and evaluation process. Because where we are strong is in terms of coming up with this policy, that the implementation is another matter. So it means that where we really need to strengthen our approaches and our the other thing is about why provinces not complying in terms of training. I think it is basically due to the very same matter that I raised to say. In most cases, provincial priority is to a large extent determined by the availability of resources. But what we need then to do is to also elevate these matters to the provinces to say, if this is the direction that we are taking nationally, so it is a must that each and every province must have. So perhaps this is something that we will also have to look into as basic education to say, how do we ensure that each and every province actually prioritizes this matter of training. And yes, indeed, the provinces that are not even doing are the targets. And if they are not targets, it means they don't have the intention to change. So this is one matter that I'm saying we really have to come up with some sort of norms and standards in that area to see this is what is happening. And those learners who are with grannies and this, it is still going back to the issue of and monitoring and evaluation. Not only doing it in terms of your established centers, but also we have in our department a policy and a session that deals with home education. So perhaps we have to look into that and say, how do we incorporate even this 0 to 4 year olds? Because what we have been doing was to monitor the education of these learners who are receiving home education, but only in terms of your compulsory school going age. So this is one maybe a framework that, or policy framework that we need to look into to say how do we then align it with the NDC proposals.
Thanks, Patricia.
study social development before you get into the slide. Before you get into the slide. Pardon me for the same five. I wanted to talk to them 0.3 from 9 years and they have. Not that I'm satisfied with the 0.5. They're supposed to be there in grade 3, because, you know. But, you know, that's class, there are things that need special attention there. Yeah, thanks. Let me hand over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I just wanted to also comment on the issue of children with disabilities. To say, I spoke about the financing strategy in ECD. What we also doing there, we're saying, let's cost what it costs to take care of a child with disability in an ECD sense, in terms of stimulation, in terms of the skills that are required for the practitioner, and also the equipment that are required. So that financing strategy will really help us, because even for now, we do have facilities for those children, but they are not properly funded. Even those that social development are funding, because it's not based on their needs. It's just based on attendance. It doesn't look at their needs, because what they need is over and above what an ordinary child would need. So we believe that with a financing strategy to assist us to better resource the ECD facilities that are catering for these children. And even if such a child is in a mainstream ECD program. Then the issue of capacity, I just wanted to indicate that I think what we need also, we need a dispensational regime or a specified training program for those mamas and girls. Because it's not necessarily homeschooling. You find that they are running an ECG in a garage or in a whatever environment. It's more than 7 children. So we need to, we know that they are not trainable in the sense that you can't put them in a level 4 qualification training. But we need a training that will be at their level, because all we're interested in is quality that's going to be provided in terms of stimulation for our children. What are the basic things that these schools can do to ensure that our children are not just playing, but they are stimulated and getting some form of education in that environment. Over and above that, we also have a parental primary caregiver capacity building training parish that we have developed for parents and caregivers, so that they are trained to understand the developmental stages, their role, how can they contribute, because the child doesn't sleep at the ECD. Children go back to their home environment. How can parents and caregivers continue contribute towards cognitive development of their children? Thank you.
Good people. What I'm getting is the huge challenge that faces us all as we are here and, you know, countrywide. There are so many things that have been initiated that are very good. But I don't know whether should I turn it, they are being kept under tables, carpets or whatever. You know, for me, if at this level we are still asking about such programs that are very good, you know, how are we making sure that such initiatives, they reach the people that they were meant to? You know, that advocacy, that teaching of our community, I think we are still facing a huge challenge. When it comes to this issue of ECG, there's so much that we've got today. Some of the programs are really, like I believe, many of us are not even aware, like the programs we have been talking about. The main question is, how do we make sure that the public out there are aware such things are being utilized, they assist with the communities out there? As one of the presenters, Dr. Mabue, has said, sometimes we do have these good things, but if they are not being implemented, if they are not put into practice, really we always fold our arms and blame and say, Department, we are not doing anything, we are not doing anything, or we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing. But really, thank you very much for raising such things, but we need to go back, not as portfolio committee members, just to say, with the community that we have, how do we assist you as department? How do we play our part also as members of the communities down there, as the representatives, to ensure that all people know about this and they do benefit? Otherwise, Thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. As a chair of the committee, let me not regret this meeting with the future of sustainable education. Unfortunately, the chairperson for social development was reported that she's not feeling well, so she could not come. But there is the different committee. Can I then hand over to you, Honorable Members, just to wrap up and give the closing comments?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. We'd like to thank Basic Education for the invitation that we received to be part of this joint committee meeting this morning. And as you said earlier on, we do have our policies in place. And I'm so happy that our department are working in an integrated approach and not a silo approach. And I'm just sorry that health couldn't be here this morning, but I think it's a standing committee meeting today. And we hope that in the future, as you take this program of ECD further, that it will be a joint meeting again. And we are now only using social therapy and basic education having their own meeting, because this is a joint of all our partners, including human systems. And thank you for the invitation and the department too for being present, and both departments giving us a very comprehensive, in-depth presentation on both as you could add the assessment and also the roles and responsibilities of all the departments involved. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Thank you very much, both departments. Can I then request members of the Portfolio Committee for Basic Education, can you remain behind for very few hours? Otherwise, I'm sure. Just a few minutes.
How many hours do you need? 2 hours.
2 hours. I'm glad for the training from that officer. I'm talking to you.
They told us something happened there.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I forgot my name.
Good next week.
Because the phone has everything. That's why we don't care again. That is one of my needs and advice. We have it because I
have one minute. Yes. Good afternoon, again.
before I even get to what we needed to discuss, one of my children here is raising her concern to say, why other committees, like in NCOC, are having international teams and all that. Maybe I should just say, honorable members, what you were advised, and maybe looking at the program and moving forward, it's one of the things that we must try to think, and our researchers to research. One thing that Parliament has emphasized on us as chairs is that they are very reluctant now for the to approve the international kids going abroad, whereas we haven't even exhausted what is happening within the continent. You know, the House Chair emphasized on the point very much, as to say, whenever we think of that, when we know very well that it is here, those are very minimal, and if ever there is any commission, not from the NA that has gone up, or any other country from here, because we are apart from that. But in future, it's one of the things that we have been encouraged very much, the committee, as to say, whenever you think engaging with other countries, yes, they're not saying you should not go abroad, but what is it that you want abroad to having not even, you know, exchange ideas and exhausted what is happening within the continent. So it's another area where we need to look at and see that maybe from the continent, which country do you want to engage with, which country can we visit the Portfolio Committee, where there is much that we can attain and learn from them when it comes to the issues of education. But then I think on behalf of the committee, and that is what we're giving you, our researchers again, with the input that we'll be getting from the committee members, is to say, make suggestions that as early as the year that we can start making those applications for the committee to go out to visit whatever country that you might have agreed upon. I don't know whether that needs discussion. But again, honourable members, we have sent a copy of the strategic plan by the department and the strategic plan of the committee moving forward, and the meetings and the discussions that are important, that we must make sure that in the financial year we do cover. I'm sure everyone has received it. I've been talking to Mr. Brown that maybe if he says we haven't got any contributions and additions or anything on the program that has been sent. Not the program, it's the plan from where we have to do the program. But what I've requested you to copy today specifically is that as per the program of Parliament, between the 18th and the 23rd is the committee week, where we are encouraged to go out for oversight. And honourable members, one of the provinces that we as Basic Education Portfolio Committee, I think and I strongly think we must visit Zimbabwe. And what I would love us to discuss, because we have to finalize the program as such, there are others, but for the Mpopo, much has happened. 1 year, there has been an uprising. But for me, I wish honorable members, if we go to Limpopo province, to be open up, because we have got a whole week. Let us not concentrate on one. We have got many outstanding issues when it comes to the province of Limpopo from the last time we went there. Yes, for us, we'll go out now, definitely. For me, I think it should be very proper to look at the issues of exam readiness. We are about to do that, to write for exams. But again, when we look at the province of Limpopo, we have got outstanding issues like the issue of inclusive education, waste, around the issues of Stokumane. It will be a chance with the finances and the permission that we're getting, that we do finalize that. It's one of the areas that we have left hanging. We have visited them, but we don't know, you know. We do get a report, but for me, it is good if ever we say we agree that on the week we need to spend in the border in Vuwani. We can't only concentrate in Vuwani. Yes, it's important. We need to get the
we need to go there on site and see what is happening, but we need to open it up again. So it would be proper if we can have an input to say what are other areas where we say we have rounded in Mpopo is known around the issues of LPSM, those are the things by now. Going to the provinces, they started delivering those. We need to get those updates. How far are they? Are there any challenges? Each of the, there's so much that we need to get when we go to the province. But that is the proposal that we have on the table right now. Which is a, let us utilize that committee because that is the way that we can be allowed to go out. After a long time, we couldn't go there. But for me, again, I think it's the right opportunity now. Because for me, when we heard that nothing was happening, there was no schooling in those areas, there was no need for us. We couldn't go to the engineers and the chiefs to talk about it. But now we can visit the school, get to the challenges, know what has happened, and, you know. So that is what I'm putting on the table right now, and honorable members. Any inputs, any questions, any additions, any... Honorable
Sandra Bach. Thank you very much. The idea is very brilliant and excellent because it seems as if in Pompo is that our province for us with all the challenges. And I don't know now, there are so many points that you have touched, but having this or 3 days to visit, how far are these places, how far back are these places? I'm trying to think about having only an hour here or half an hour here and have to travel a long distance because as the bomb was having that one, having Tokyo Lwana, I have no geographical feature of the place, and as I said, that we must first exhaust our country to do it first. Is there nothing that we can also play for to understand for the team? Because it, for the past 3 years being in this committee, we have not yet visited to understand. Okay. So I suggest that the secretary from next oversight, whether we're going to learn the best practices if they are so good.
Okay. But honorable person, I was referring to those international teams where maybe they can that one for part of the overall thing before we go out this time. Honorable Sanders.
Okay, obviously I would enjoy and appreciate another trip to Limpopo, but my honourable Boston's province distance is even issue, but there are ways we can arrive at Joburg or Lafuria or Bonnebonsay, and we can stop at Tabazimbi, where there is a school for autism children who's not getting any assistance. A brilliant place to go. Then we can go down, and when we go to Buwani, you can go to Twendo, to Lamila Municipal Area, where there is a school in a terrible condition for blind learners. There's another one in the Kakuni area as well. I mean, there's so many places I could take you to, and I think a follow-up assessment for Buwani will be great for the committee. It's got its own dynamics. But I think we should also start in these very poor provinces, start looking at the special needs schools. Because, you know, if ordinary schools are neglected in these poor provinces, can you imagine what the special needs schools are like in these provinces? So if you do come to the province, I'm only concerned, Chair, in all honesty, with this announced visit. So we spent hours with the department, looking to the crap. You can just ask for the printout and read it yourself. Yeah, I mean, really, this copy and paste documentation is really not impressive. You can just go back a few years, mingle, page back and forth and rebut it all again. So I don't know how we get past this thing that they come and see, with all respect, you know, officials come here and we get presentation. When you query things, the boys are the plan.
action, this, this, this. But you go on the ground, that's not what you see. I mean, you know, I'm always on the street, somewhere, but, and what the challenge is, I just can't accept this copy and paste of board that we get. So I would really want you to show the others and me and everyone of those, just where on those fly out from Pandora or Qualify, wherever you at the end meet the province, what you see. But to start with the province and end with the province and the unions, which are, I really be wasting our time. We must build something of a surprise in our oversight. But otherwise you're going to polish a visit, which is not the true fact on the ground. We must change.
Okay. Okay, I wanted to comment, but fine, let me give Honorable David a chance.
Thanks, I'll just be brief. I think the Pope was a great idea. It was one of the worst provinces, and we already went to Cagayan and Eastern Cape earlier in the year. Can I just ask that we obviously need to go to look where the problems are because we need to try and fix the worst performing schools. But I always think it's instructive to also go to schools that are performing very well against the odds, you know, in very difficult circumstances. Because then we can see what those schools are doing right that the other schools can replicate. And one school, I'm actually not sure which district it is in, and maybe my honourable members to my right can help me, but Mahordi Secondary, in 2014 it got a pass rate of 20.7%. In 2015, that went up to 52.8%. So that is Mahordi Secondary.
Mahordi.
It's MOTODI. I'm not sure which district. But, I mean, that's an increase in its pass rate in 1 year of 50 percentage points. And I'd love to go there to see exactly what they are doing to improve the situation at their school and to see how we can replicate that in other schools. Thanks.
Yeah. I think now, honourable members, they agree they should focus on the Mpopo. And I think from what we are saying, yes, Vuwani will be the priority. Then we focus on special schools. I'm looking at the time that we have there, but we have to use them. Let's say we go there, we reach down Sunday and stay down on the 18th. Another side of that, unfortunately, we can be. We need to have this meeting for the first day to introduce ourselves and announce our visit for day one. But honorable members, I hear very well what you're saying, honorable side of that. But sometimes, not even sometimes, you know, for us to go to those areas, those schools, because we go there with the information that they have been coming here with to report. That's very, very necessary, the wrapping of meetings on the last day. Because that is where we begin to share our experiences. And that, you know, as we go around those schools, those centers, whatever, that is where we pick these challenges. And sometimes are very much contrary to the results that we are having. And for us to leave without giving them our findings, without sharing with them, it leaves our visit some, you know, a little open-ended. Yes, I fully agree. Most of the time, honorable members, we have to meet, maybe do one meeting, I don't know. We meet the unions, we meet important, it's necessary in others, in certain instances. What I want us to agree is that, yes, I agree, there are instances where, like, but for the fact, the meeting with the SUVs, the bodies, we meet yet. We need to get what we are feeling. But if we can see those meetings to one day, for the first day, for me, I think should do, giving us more time, for the local visits. Again, where we need to be very careful again is to say the geographical spread of those. Like Kotorani is more towards Polokwane. Vuwani is, you know, that's a good thing, Mr. Brown, Mr. Kisana, that we need to have so that we don't spend much of the time driving, you know. If ever we can exhaust this area, we know that we drive in the afternoon, not at night, but, you know, not that much late, but for us to be able to kickstart the day early, wherever you are. The schools that have been
I know you have got a way even of looking at the schools that have been performing, but I make the point just to say, let us not only target the poor performing schools. It does not help us. For me, if ever in the seven vicinity there is a school A is performing well, school B is not performing well, it's even nice to compare what is happening. So let us try and strategize it well and see what is that we are going to do there. But then, honourable members, then it means on the 18th, with the arrangements and the homework that you're still going to do, what I can say will be in Limpopo, as to say, where about in Limpopo, whether we drive straight with one or with different Polokwane, those are the logistics that should be leaving from you. But I will really plead with the honourable members to get an insight of the area. It's good to assist. Sometimes looking at the internet, the accommodation and whatever, it's nice to get from the person who is there, who can advise as to what is it that you need to do. But as I'm saying, one issue of special school and even school readiness from some those schools out in Vuani, those sort of things that we need to check it through, that as we come in, our oversight, our trip will be.
And if the findings were bad, then we should see whether any key and that should be also wished to the committee.
After what we have done, after what we have done, I would be emptying the pot.
You know what I'm going to make this. No, please, let us take it from there when you come there.
I know, honourable members, this afternoon, that pot, there is a base, and so that members want to go and start preparing the speed of an hour, and be full. Thank you very much.
Thank you.